Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, the continuation of our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. If you would like a copy of the study guide and the study notes as they are made available each week in advance of the study, visit basicgospel.net/teaching. There you can order your copy of the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide and download the free notes each week. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now to continue our study, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, welcome to Basic Gospel today. This is our teaching edition. We're in the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. We're picking up on the middle of page 113. This is a chapter on eternal life, and Jesus Christ defined eternal life this way, that we may know God the Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent.
Yes.
So eternal life, we think of it in terms of longevity, that it lasts forever, and certainly it does because Jesus lives forever, but it's also about a quality of life, something that is qualitatively different than what we knew before coming to Christ through faith, by grace through faith. So it's qualitatively different, and it's built upon relationship. It's different because we're learning something about God. We're growing in our knowledge of God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Now, God doesn't pour all of that knowledge into our minds right at the very get-go.
Thankfully.
We grow in grace, and as we grow in grace, we grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John sketched out a progression of this growth in his first letter. And so in chapter 2, he talks to children, he talks to young men, and he talks to fathers.
Yes.
So to children, he says, this is what God wants you to know about himself, that he's forgiven your sins and that you have found a place within the family of God, that you, by the Spirit of God, can cry out, Abba, Father.
Yes.
So you know him as your heavenly Father. You know that you belong to the family of God. Young men, they are learning how to use the Word of God to become strong in the Word of God, to be able to have some discernment and to be able to judge the philosophies and arguments that are out there in the world. And we looked at a verse last week. It was 2 Corinthians 10. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So what's going on out there in the world? What are these philosophies and arguments and pretensions doing? They're setting themselves up against the knowledge of God.
Yes.
So if we are growing in our knowledge of God, then we're able to discern those things. We're able to reject those arguments and take them captive, every thought captive, and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. Well, that's what young men are learning to do. Mm-hmm. And I think many in our culture today are probably in that phase.
Sure.
They are getting all of us, you know, through the internet, through television, through this political season, man, we've been hit with every argument imaginable. With the rise of science, with the amplification of the scientific voice out there, we're getting a lot of information that is setting itself up against the knowledge of God. As a matter of fact, science is trying to eliminate God from the equation altogether.
Yes.
And basically say that science is going to hold all the answers to life's mysteries.
Yes.
We just need time and more technology to be able to fathom and discern and bring all of those things to the surface. So we have all of these voices out there. They're setting themselves up against the knowledge of God. Those of us who really have anchored ourselves in the Word of God and in this relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we're going to be able to discern what those arguments are, to reject them and embrace fully what we know about God in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So now we want to get to fathers. And in 1 John, he says a couple of things to fathers. Actually, he says one thing and then repeats it. He says this, I am writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. And then he repeats that, I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. And I think that's an interesting deal. He wrote the same thing to children. I write to you children because you know the Father. But there's got to be a difference between these two, doesn't there, Richard?
Yeah, and it's in that little phrase, who is from the beginning.
Yes.
Children don't have that perspective.
Right.
They're not supposed to have that perspective. But as you mature in the Lord, notice he's not talking literally chronologically to children, young men, and fathers. This is children, young men, and fathers in the faith. And so whatever age you are, if you've just come to Jesus, you're going to say, wow, God exists. Well, as you mature in the faith, you come to the conclusion that this is a lot bigger than just the fact that God loves me. Yes, Jesus yes. loves me, and it's worth everything. But that love encompasses absolutely everything. It encompasses the science we just talked about. It encompasses my life. It encompasses my future. And slowly but surely, God reveals that to me and to you, to every one of his children, over time. And as you get to understand who he is and what from the beginning means, the ramifications of that, it does change your relationship. It makes it stronger. It makes it calmer in a real sense. You're not flying off the handle at everything because you've seen it all, and
right.
Jesus is sufficient.
Right. So children are going to know that they belong.
Yes.
They're
going to
know God as their Father. They're not necessarily going to know what makes God tick, what his eternal purposes are. And that's what fathers are starting to grasp. They're starting to see. They're starting to understand. So we have some interesting questions in the study guide, and I think they're worth just asking. And we want to challenge you, if you have the study guide, to really take a deep look at these questions, answer thoughtfully, take some time with these particular questions on the bottom of page 113. If you do not have a study guide, we certainly encourage you to pick one up.
Yes.
You can go to our website, basicgospel.net/teaching. And you can find all the information on how to order a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, plus the study guide. It is a valuable resource. There are many groups all over the country that are using this particular book and this particular study guide in their Bible studies and Sunday school classes. So take advantage. We want you to have this resource. It's available at basicgospel.net. So getting back to the study, page 113, the bottom of the page. So this is very similar to the statement John made to children, that fathers know God who is from the beginning. But how would a father's knowledge of God differ from that of a child? Now, we want you to take some time and consider that question.
Yes.
So once the broadcast is over, once you have some time where you can really just think about that, how would a knowledge of God differ from that of a child to that of a father? The next question is this. Think about a long-term relationship you have enjoyed. What do you know about that person now that you did not know when the relationship started? How has that knowledge strengthened and enriched the relationship? How has that knowledge changed you? We all know people, and most of us have friends that have been with us for a long, long time. Now, when that friendship first started, there was kind of a tiptoeing around each other phase. We're not quite sure how they might respond. We're not quite sure if they're going to understand your sarcasm or your humor. That might just fall flat. You're not sure how they might react. You don't know what their humor is like. You don't know what their purposes in life are. And so you tiptoe around each other for a little while. And then you start bringing up subjects, and you find out what the other person thinks on a particular subject, and you get to share what you think on a particular subject. And so as that relationship grows and it goes through time, you start understanding a little bit more about that person than you did at the beginning. And if you really like that person, If that person is meaningful to you in your life, then the qualities and characteristics of that person are going to rub off on you in a very positive way.
Yes.
And, you know, we've all had mentors. Mm-hmm. That's what happens in that mentor relationship. That person starts to rub off on you. You've had relationships like that, haven't you, Richard?
Oh, yes. I remember, you know, when I was working in high tech at Hewlett-Packard, there were people I got to know over time that I knew I could rely on to give me an answer, and there were plenty of questions, right?
Right.
And as I got to know them better, I learned how they went about their work. I patterned my own work after them, and it served me very, very well because they'd been there and done that, and they were helping me not make the same mistakes. It's the same thing with just regular friends as well. As you explore these new avenues of relationship, that they can explain to you. I mean, just over something simple like, how do you really use this tool? And if they know how to do it, what a time saver.
Yes.
You know, I've been breaking my knuckles on something, and they say, well, if you do it this way, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
It's that kind of give and take that generates the relationship.
Right. And I think the most interesting relationship would be that of marriage.
Yeah.
So Gina and I have been married 26 years. You and Lois have been married a little longer than that.
A little longer than that. Almost 44 years.
Almost 44. Wow. Well, when Gina and I first met, there was certainly a lot of tiptoeing around each other. But now we know each other.
Yeah.
We know what makes each other tick, and we're together, and it's wonderful. And a lot of her qualities, her characteristics, have rubbed off on me in a very positive way. Mm-hmm. And I hope the same is true of her. And I know that's true with you and Lois as well.
Yes.
So over time, getting to know one another, growing together in that relationship, you begin to change. You begin to be transformed by the power and the strength of that relationship.
Yeah.
So let's move on to our relationship with God. So what do you now know about God the Father that you did not know when you first trusted Jesus? And again, we want you to take some time and really think about this question. This isn't just a throwaway question. This isn't just a one-word answer question.
Yes.
This is to be a thought-provoking question. To really ask yourself, what do I know now about God the Father that I didn't know about him when I first trusted Jesus? And then the follow-up question to that is, how has that knowledge changed you? When I really got to know what my dad was like, and I got to see what his qualities and characteristics were like and what he was all about, he was the most honest man that I've ever been around. He did everything with the highest sense of integrity. I started to see those things, and I started to see how important those certain characteristics are. And those started to rub off on me, and I am so thankful for that. But that all stemmed from this relationship with my dad. And certainly, as I've grown to know Jesus and have grown in my understanding of him, his life has changed me, has transformed me from the inside out. And I think every single believer can say the same thing. So in what ways has your knowledge grown about God? What do you know about him now that you didn't know when you first trusted Jesus? How has that changed you? And we would love to hear your stories.
Yeah.
If you would like to write that to us, we would love to be able to see that, to read those. It would be a great encouragement to us, and we would love to be able to share those things on the radio broadcast as well. You can do that by writing to me, bob@basicgospel.net. Very simple, bob@basicgospel.net. So think through these questions. Answer these questions, and then, if you would, send those answers to me. I would love to see them. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. So, fathers are starting to learn what God's eternal purpose is, and their minds are starting to get aligned with that purpose. So, there's this great passage in the book of 1 John where God talks about how the love of God gets completed in us. So it's a cycle. It's a flowing river that God pours out his love into our hearts, but it's not supposed to be just a reservoir that stays within our hearts. It's to flow out into the lives of others. So when we really start knowing the love of God, knowing what God the Father is all about, what his purposes are, then we kind of lift the dam on that river, that reservoir that we held in our hearts, and we start letting it out into the lives of others. Paul said, faith expressing itself in love. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ, we're going to start seeing that love flow through us into the lives of others. We gain God's grand perspective on this world in which we live, and that's exciting, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I like to, as you were talking, two pictures came into my head. One was, what's the difference between the Dead Sea and Lake Tahoe? If any of you have ever seen Lake Tahoe, well, one has no outlet.
Yes.
The other does. The other maintains freshness and beauty and all
right.
of that, and the other just sucks life from everything. And that's the opportunity we have, is to let this overflow from us to
yes.
other people.
And that's what fathers begin to understand.
Yeah.
And that's what they engage in their lives. They're trusting Jesus Christ to live his life in and through them to advance God's eternal purposes in this world in which we live today.
Yeah.
So that's this progression of growth that John has sketched out for us. Mm-hmm. So you may be new in the faith. So if you are, let God teach you that your sins have been forgiven
yes.
on account of Jesus' name. Let him teach you that you really belong. Anchor your heart to this assurance of salvation.
Yes.
If you're a young man, if you're in the throes of that conflict between flesh and the spirit and trying to figure all that out, let God open up the power of the Word of God to
yes.
you. Let him give you a sense of discernment so you can be able to judge properly those arguments and those pretensions that are setting themselves up against the knowledge of God. And let God be strong in you. If you're a father, man, let his love pour out of you in ways that you never dreamed possible. And that's what this growth is all about. As we ended this chapter in the book, we end with this paragraph. The purpose of grace is really to connect you and me to the love of God.
Yeah.
It is Jesus who makes this love known to us. We would never know that God is love apart from the person and work of Jesus
yeah.
Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on our behalf. So all the story of the gospel is to connect us to the love of God. And so Jesus places on our eyes a lens of grace that brings the truth that God is love into clear focus.
Yeah.
And boy, that is so exciting. And that's the knowledge of God that the world is missing.
Yes.
We're the only ones that really know that and can say that with conviction. No one else can. Everybody else is trying to figure out what God is like, and all the ideas and theories and concepts that they're coming up with miss the mark by millions of miles, don't they?
Oh, they do. Let me offer a crude analogy. When we're born again, it's almost as if we're born with cataracts. And the older we get, the more mature we get, the clearer our vision gets.
Yes.
The cataracts go away.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant analogy. So the world is out there with cataracts.
Yeah.
They know God exists.
Yeah.
But there's nothing clear coming into their minds as to what he is like until Jesus shows up.
Yeah.
And Jesus kind of bursts through those cataracts and brings truth to the heart and mind, and they see that God truly is love, that
yeah.
God genuinely cares, that God is genuinely concerned. And it's so overwhelming that their hearts respond in faith. That's what happened to me. That's what happened
yeah.
to you. But we still don't see clearly mm-hmm. Right at that moment. Other than we know our sins have been forgiven, we know that we belong.
And that's enough.
That's right.
To start with.
That's exactly right. But that starts to grow and expand, and that love of God starts to fill all those spaces within our soul. And we start seeing it even more clearly in everything that we do, and that love begins to transform us from the inside out.
Yes.
Now, this is all the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that this plan of God that is executed through the grace of God has its critics within the church.
Yes, of all places.
Within the body of Christ. I can understand the world being critical of the plan of God. Mm-hmm. They're critical of God just by nature.
Yes.
But not people within the church, for goodness sakes, but it's true. There are people that drone away about grace just being a license to sin. It's just confounding to me that they would do that. I mean, how can you be critical of the very thing that saved you, of the very thing that sustains you, at the very thing at the end of your life you're going to be so grateful for, that God's grace touched you, saved you, and put you in right standing with God? There's nothing for you to boast about ever other than the grace of God. So why would anybody be critical about that? And what most of the critics say is we have to balance grace with law. You know, if we're overbalanced on grace, you know, people are just going to run amok. They're going to go out and sin and do all of this stuff. And so we need to counterbalance that with law. Now, the mistake there is to think that grace and law are of equal value.
Yep.
They are not. It's like the moon to the sun. The moon is bright at night. You know why? Because it's simply reflecting the light of the sun.
Yes.
It has no light in and of itself. And then when the sun comes up early in the morning, you can see the moon, but it's so pale.
Yeah.
It just is overpowered by the brightness of the sun. That's the way law and grace are. Man, God put the law as a light that was in this world, but it was only a reflection of the real light of God himself. Now that Jesus is here through his grace, man, that just overpowers the law. So the law can't balance grace. It's impossible.
Yes.
It is not of equal value, not of on the same par whatsoever. It is not apples to apples, oranges to oranges. It is two different things altogether with different purposes. The way grace is balanced is through faith. God's plan has always been by grace, through faith in Jesus.
Yep.
That's the balance that God strikes in each and every one of us. Grace through faith means a transformed, changed life.
Yes.
One that is transformed and changed by the very love of God. That's what this is all about. Grace connects us to the love of God. Grace opens our eyes so that we can see that God is love.
Yeah.
That's the knowledge that we have. That's the knowledge that we've been given. It's the greatest knowledge that anyone could ever have. The world is missing it. We have something they need. It seems that we need to be out there giving this knowledge to as many people as we possibly can. Well, we'll stop right there. We'll pick up next week with more of the criticisms that people have toward grace and how the Word of God answers those critics in very practical yet powerful ways. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard, thanks for being here. Thanks to Greg and Coleman and the entire Basic Gospel team for all they do to bring this good news to the airwaves. We hope that you have a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be back here on Monday with another live edition of Basic Gospel as we continue our discussion on God's will for your life. It's going to be an exciting last week of this month as we really tie that all together and give you some confidence and assurance to know that you're in the will of God. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you again on Monday. Thanks again for joining us. So long.